Tulsa Opera concludes its season with Giacomo Puccini's Turandot, a fairy tale set in ancient China, and the story of Princess Turandot, whose beauty men literally died to woo. The opera features one of the most popular tenor arias of all time, Nessun Dorma, but equally beautiful arias and choral work throughout. While the music is beautiful, the story strains believability somewhat. Story goes, Turandot will marry the man who can answer three riddles, but kill him if he cannot. Prince Caliph does answer the riddles, but offers a riddle of his own which would allow Turandot to stop the wedding. To try to find the answer, she goes to any length, including torturing Caliph's servant to the point of death. The question over the years has been, why would Caliph ever want to marry Turandot? My guest today says the answer has always been in the text, as Turandot sings about an ancestor who was carried off and ravished. She was traumatized. Here's Joan Sutherland singing. Music from Puccini's Turandot. My guest today is Bernard Ouzon, stage director for Tulsa Opera's production. Ouzon was the former general director of Tulsa Opera in 1987 and 88, and this marks his return to the company. For 50 years, Ouzon has led opera companies and served as artistic director, stage director, set designer, and librettist for companies around the world. He staged some amazing productions for Tulsa Opera in the mid to late 1980s, and he returns to the company this weekend for two performances of Turandot with the company, Friday evening and Sunday afternoon at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Bernard Ouzon, welcome to Studio Tulsa, and welcome back to Tulsa.
Thank you.
It's been many, many years, hasn't
it? Yes, 30 years.
Yeah.
I was here last time in 1988.
And that was when you were general director of the company.
Yes, and I also directed a few productions for the company here.
Yes, and you did that prior to becoming general director.
Yes, I came here before. I think it was for Romeo and Juliet, when Ed Parrington was general director here. Yes, and after that, after the Romeo and Juliet and the Faust. No, actually, it was the Faust, the first one. Mm-hmm. It was an incredible cast that Ed Parrington had here. I mean, Neil Shikoff, Sam Raimi, Diana Soviero. I mean, it was a huge, stellar cast. And I was lucky enough to be the director of it. Yeah. And of course, I did a good job, not because I was good, but because it was so fantastic that it had to be good.
You had to get out of the way, really.
Exactly.
Well, I also remember your production of La Traviata, which was, at that point for Tulsa, it was a radical reimagining of the opera. And I know it ended with you know, the death scene in a hospital room, a modern-day hospital room. But I always remembered, I thought it was just a fascinating retake on this classic opera.
It was also an interesting production. I always try, when I direct a production, to find new things in it. I am not basically somebody who updates everything. I do not. But some moments, I think, are worth it. We can talk about that, about Turandot, at one point. What is new in the production?
With Turandot, you have, it was actually a Persian fairy tale, if you will. I believe it came, actually the origins of the story came from a Persian storyteller.
Yes, it came from a Commedia dell'arte play by Carlo Gozzi. Carlo Gozzi wrote this Commedia dell'arte called Turandot. Not exactly Turandot, it was Turandot.
Yeah.
But the origin of the opera, of the libretto, is from the play of Carlo Gozzi.
It is sort of this fairy tale love story, the most unlikely love story you can ever imagine, with an imperious princess who, sort of like the Sphinx, creates these riddles for her suitors, and riddles that are not supposed to be solved because she doesn't want to wed.
Yes, but normally, I mean, I've done Turandot before.
Yeah, many times.
Maybe four times, five times. in Mexico I did it, in Chile, in a lot of cities in this country, with ladies who have done Turandot a million times before. And what is it was interesting for me to do it again here is that people say to me sometimes, you are not tired sometimes of doing Carmen 15 times? That's an opera I directed here too.
Yeah, true.
Carmen. How do you find new things to do? I said, we are not the same men. I am not the same person I am now at my age, now that I was 30 years ago. My way of looking at things is different. My way of having relations with people is different. And so my way of looking at the opera is different. For example, in the case of Turandot, it's done always with this icy woman who has no emotion, no nothing. We are doing practically the opposite. Because I discovered this time that she's actually a traumatized child. She starts the opera, and that's something we could hear, not all of the aria because it's long, but the beginning of the aria. She starts her presence on stage talking about this ancestor who actually was taken away and died and was totally destroyed by the enemy, etc. And she still talk about that story, and she wants still revenge on that. So she's a traumatized person.
And in many ways, she feels like she is a reincarnated
exactly.
Version of this old princess.
Of all this princess, but she could not never accept who she is because of this huge trauma in her childhood when she was told that story. And we use that a lot to show that behind the appearance of being this icy princess who wants the head of every man who wants to marry her, there is this traumatized child. And when she comes at the beginning of the opera, she has what we call in French, le coup de foudre, okay? Love at first sight for Calaf. She sees immediately something different in him, and she will say it later in a duet with him. She will say, as soon as I saw you, I saw something different. Your way of looking at things was so different. So his presence had triggered in her something different that she had never felt, and she's becoming vulnerable from the beginning.
And it's really a love and hate in her case,
yes.
Because she fears submitting.
Exactly. Yeah. So so we play a lot with these two big attractions, with these two big character moments in the opera. You know, the opera is like a lot of operas anyway. It's in 24 hours. many things can happen in 24 hours. But because when the opera starts, we have to imagine that she's at the end of a moment, and then she needs a trigger. And for Calaf too, is love at first sight. He sees her and he says, I will die for that woman. I don't care if I have to sacrifice myself. I don't care if I have to take risk. I want her.
And as he comes to the court, he's watching the last suitor basically go to his death.
Exactly. And he even sees his head crossing the stage at one point. So to update this kind of opera for me makes no sense because it's a masterpiece. I always give this example. When you decide to go to see an exhibition of where Mona Lisa is there, the painting of Mona Lisa, do you take glasses to change the color of the painting or the image of it so you see something different? No, you go watch the masterpiece. Turandot is a masterpiece. There is way inside, respecting what the opera is about, find new ways of doing it. For example, there is something I did before once and I do again in this production. Number one, probably you know that Timur is supposed to be blind,
yes.
The father
yes.
of Calaf. There is not one word in the opera, not one who says he is blind. Not one word.
And yet every libretto
says says he's blind. Okay, there is not one word. He's just old and tired.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't make him blind because there is not one word. In the third act, he says, who is screaming when actually Liu is tortured in front of him? So that's maybe what people say he's blind. So what I do is I make him arrive in the third act. He has been taken prisoner by the soldiers and they have hurt his eyes. So for the first time in the third act, we see him with a blindfold, bloody blindfold. So he lost his sight. And the same way, 3 hours, not even 3 hours, 45 minutes after he leaves with Liu, suddenly Calaf becomes emperor of China. And we never see Timur back, his father. Where the hell is he? Never, no production brings back Timur at the end.
And this is the princess's father.
Yes.
Yeah.
The prince father.
Oh, the prince father, excuse
me. It's Calaf's father. Yeah. So where did he go? I mean, did he took a plane to go somewhere else? And he cannot even walk. He's so old and tired. So I bring him back at the end.
Yeah.
Ping, pong, pong, bring him back. And they fall in the arm of each other with his son. So that's what I call, for me, updating. Updating for me in an opera like this is to find new things who make sense.
And that's really a very careful reading of the libretto.
Exactly.
Because you've described, at least in how you view Turandot as a traumatized woman, is the fact that it lays it out that she's experienced this trauma.
Exactly. It's written.
But for whatever reason, we've just ignored it.
We ignore it. No, she's just mean.
And she's just icy.
Yeah.
And of course, there's all this, the words in the libretto that refer to the ice.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's an attitude.
Right. It's a veneer.
Exactly. It's not what she's inside. She's inside. She's a poor child. And she's very young. Let's remember that, too. She's not an older woman who spent 30 years hating the world. She's a very young woman traumatized by the history of her family.
Now, by all accounts, from what I've read about Turandot, is that Puccini was wanting to create a more realistic opera as opposed to, you know, the Italians that went a generation earlier where it was fanciful tales and you really had to suspend your disbelief at the door. He wanted to create a more realistic story. But Turandot obviously created problems for him, especially in that last act. And that was one thing I wanted to ask you as a stage director. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're watching Turandot, who is frantic that she's going to have to marry this man that she loves and hates at the same time. And she has basically pulled out all the stops in China and said, I need to find the name because he's posed a riddle that gets her off the hook. So she's turning the country upside down and eventually finding that Liu, the slave girl for Calaf's father, knows his name, tortures her to the point where she kills herself.
Yeah.
Yet moments later, Calaf is horrified. And then they're together.
Yes.
That is a hard dramatic leap to bridge.
It is. It is hard, except if you, like we just discussed the past few minutes, if you introduce that incredible attraction from the beginning between both of them, also from Turandot to Calaf, it's like fate. It's written that they have to be together. And even in the last act, if she fights against some moments and she gives him again the possibility, you still have time to go. But actually she says go holding his hand. Okay? So that's what it is. And there is one thing which I really love in what we do on stage is at one point Calaf kisses her, which is written. That's not something I invented.
No.
It's written. But it's the first time in her life she has been kissed. So he kisses her, and her instinct is, after he leaves her 2 seconds, she kisses him because she wants to feel again that moment.
She's repelled and attracted at
exactly,
the same time.
Exactly, and that is a fabulous moment in the opera.
Is that the things that you really stress when you're in the preparations for the opera, is these little things like
yes,
that?
Yes, I mean, you know, one thing sometimes general audience don't know what a director does. They believe he's the guy who says, okay, you go right, you go left, you sit down.
Traffic cop.
Yeah, but that's not what most of directors do anymore. I mean, we direct characters, we work with the text, what does that mean? We have new ideas about how to give something, and we're also in charge of the visual, of course. And by the way, this production is absolutely, unbelievably beautiful. Even if you don't know opera, even if you don't like opera, music of opera, just go and see visually. This is amazing, visually. The costumes are beautiful, the set is beautiful, and the story is beautiful. So,
well, and the music is beautiful.
The music is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone knows Nessun Dorma, but there's about three or four other arias that are just incredible.
And it's very touching. I mean, we believe Turandot can be too icy to repeat the word, but there is moments where I'm smiling because I had yesterday next to me at the dress rehearsal two people who had never seen the opera, and at one moment of the opera, they were in tears for Turandot. I mean, that's something new because that's what we are looking for. We are looking for, when we do an opera, how to move people. I remember that famous line of Bertolt Brecht, who said to his young director student, he said, if the audience leave the theater exactly the same that when they came in, we did not do our job. You failed.
My guest today is Bernard Ouzon, a stage director for Tulsa Opera's production of Giacomo Puccini's Turandot, with performances Friday and Sunday at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. Longtime Tulsans will remember Bernard Ouzon for his stage direction with Tulsa Opera in the early 80s and mid-80s, and then becoming a general director for about 2 years in the late 80s. And this is your first time back since.
My first time back, yes. And we're very happy to be back.
Well, we're very happy to have you back.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the cast. You have an interesting young cast, but some doing it the role for the first time, but others that have done it several times.
Yes. You have, as Turandot, you have Alexandra Luzion, which is a fabulous young singer. I can, without any doubt, be sure that she's going to be a huge star because vocally she's absolutely amazing. And dramatically, she understands nuances of the text, and then she plays with the music, and she's really an amazing singer.
Has she been open to this idea?
Absolutely. She loves it.
Yeah.
She loves it.
I think as a performer, you would like.
Of course. Because who is interested in just arriving and scream for 2 hours? And the Calaf is a fabulous young singer too, Jonathan Burton, which I never worked with him before, even if I've done now 428 productions of opera. But I never worked with him before, but I saw him this year doing La Fanciulla del West in New York, and he was also very, 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 very good. It's really a wonderful singer, a wonderful tenor.
When people think of Turandot, they think of Calaf's one moment.
Nessun Dorma.
But he's singing all throughout the opera.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a number of big numbers.
Yes, and then also the scene he has with Liu, who is sung by Jessica Cambio, who is also a wonderful young singer and very touching singer. The scene between him, the Liu, Jessica Cambio, and Timur, who is his father in the opera, is really very, very touching. They worked long time. We had long rehearsal time and in details, but I'm very happy to say that they are doing fantastically.
And that's one of the most interesting relationships in the opera between Calaf and Liu.
Yeah.
Because Liu is utterly in love with Calaf, and she will go to her death with that love. It is the most pure love.
Yes.
In the whole opera.
Nothing ever happened between them except he smiled at her once. That's what she says to him. He says to her, how do you really know me? She said, I was in the palace and one day you smiled at me. And that's it. That's what the relation before. That's why she took care of his father.
So now how do you handle that particular role? Because
now you see, do you realize how many people can be madly in love with big stars.
Right.
And one day, the big star smile at this person, and that's enough. That happens even today all the time. It's not so strange. I mean, sometimes love is the result of imagination. Because as soon as you know the person very well, maybe you love less. But
no, I'm just kidding now. But you fall in love with an image.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He's Calaf. He's the son of
the emperor,
etc. He looks great. He's generous. Of course, you're a little girl in the palace and you fall in love with him. That's normal, in a way. Mm-hmm. You project your own things that you have inside.
But, again, those scenes between Caliph and Liu, you have to convey that because Liu is going to be tortured.
Yes.
And oftentimes, if a person is spurned in their love...
Yes.
You know.
But what I do also, I think that most of production do that, I think, is that we show Calaf being very, very attentive to Liu and very nice to Liu. It's not like he's ignoring her when she's around. He hold her hand at one point, he say, Liu, you are wonderful. I want to thank you forever to take care of my father.
She is the only servant that has remained true.
Exactly. And he's very attentive and nice to her. So maybe she starts to believe something is possible. Who knows?
Yeah. My guest today is Bernard Uzan, the stage director for Tulsa Opera's production of Puccini's Turandot with performances Friday and Sunday at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. Well, it sounds like you've had a great time with the cast.
Yes, I did. I really did. And when you go to rehearsal saying, we have rehearsal today with a smile, that's a good sign.
I want to ask you about the three of the minor characters. Well, they're not really minor characters because they're almost the most real world characters, and that's Ping Pang and Pong.
Ping Pang Pong, yes.
Yeah, the three sort of courtiers, if you will.
Yeah. Listen, Ping Pang Pong represent the Commedia dell'arte completely.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Like I said at the beginning of this conversation, I said the opera, the libretto, come from a play by Carlo Gozzi, which was the king of Commedia dell'arte. You had two in Italy, Carlo Gozzi and Goldoni. But they are the equivalent of Arlecchino, Brighella, Scaramuccio, these characters of Commedia dell'arte. And as you know, when Commedia dell'arte was written by Gozzi and Goldoni, he was writing only really the words of the prince, the princess, what in his mind were the important people. And for the servants, Arlecchino, Brighella, and all this, which is Ping Pang Pong now, mm-hmm. he was writing just lines saying, they do this, they do that, and it was left to the improvisation of the actors. That's what Commedia dell'arte was. They improvised on stage. But until they improvised for 40 years, until it became not impossible anymore because everybody was copying everybody when it was good, and then it was not improvisation anymore.
Right.
But basically, it's improvisation. And that's why Ping Pong Pong are. They are the representant of that aspect of the theater of Commedia dell'arte.
And you open the second act with their trio, and it's so interesting because it's like, it is absolutely Verismo because it's everyday
yes.
stories.
And they talk about other things, and they move a lot because if they are Commedia dell'arte, they have to move a lot. They cannot be static. And it gives a great balance to the, I don't want to say the word seriousness, but to the importance of the scene between Calaf and Turandot and Liu, which is very, very dramatic. And suddenly you have this, you can relax a little with Ping Pong Pong.
Are they comedic relief?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
In a way, yes. And they bring the exact reality of the situation at the same time.
Yeah. So what do you look for in those characters? Do they have to be broad characters or they should be nuanced? Or
No, it's nuanced because Puccini gives us precise things about them. Even if sometimes it's strange because nothing in the text later justify what he believes they are. For example, one of them is in charge of the kitchen. But there is nothing in the text for the entire opera where he makes relation to food. Okay? The other one is the in charge of acquisition. That means he's the one who buys everything. But there is no relation to that either. But we try to find things who make them closer to what they are supposed to be. But they are comic relief and return to reality, which for me is as important that when you have a big scene between Turandot, for example, the first scene, and then suddenly you have Ping Pong Pong, it's like, okay, so these people are real. It's not just a monument of drama.
Or a fairy tale.
A fairy tale, exactly.
Yeah. So Before we close, you know, you've done about 4 or 5 productions of Turandot over the years. And you said, you know, each time I come back to it, I'm trying to learn something different. Can you contrast the production you're putting together here, say, to your first Turandot? As what's different in your eyes?
What's different is, number one, when you have different singers, it's different. I do not ask the different singers to do the same thing. That's why one thing is very important in my profession, I think, is to know the singers, because you have to know them who they are really, who they are inside, because you need to know how to demand. No, demand is not the right word, because I was translating the French of demander. Demander is to ask. To demand, yes, is too strong in, yeah, English. You have to ask from them to give what they are inside. If you don't know anything about who they are, how can you ask anything? So that's why it's a life experience to do a production with people, because you are with them and you have to use who they are. You don't ask different people to do the same thing. And that's why sometimes people believe that directors can be aggressive or demanding or whatever. But sometimes we do that, I think, on purpose, to see the reaction, to see how somebody react to something. And then we learn a lot about this person. And then we can work. So that's what it is. So it's always different because the singers are different, number one. Number two, like I said before, it's different because you change with time. You change with age. You change with experience. You change with, you know, I'll give you an example. 20 years ago, when I did my first Turandot, it took me a lot of rehearsal to stage the chorus, because you have 60 people on stage. Today, it takes me 6 hours to stage a chorus. So I have more time to spend with the principals about the character. And I have more time to tell the chorus, who, by the way, I'm amazed how good the chorus is here in Tulsa. Really, I am. I am not here just to say great things about, that's not my style, okay? Tell what I really think and what I really believe. Not only they are very good musically and vocally, but they love so much what they do. I can ask them anything, they will try to do it. And that's rare today. That's very rare, because I work in companies where they just go there, they go, wah, 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 and they leave. That's not the case here. It's really wonderful, wonderful. So it cannot be the same thing. It has to be different.
Bernard Uzon, we look forward to the difference this weekend. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Stage director Bernard Uzon, the former general director of Tulsa Opera back in 1987 and 1988, who returns to the company to stage direct for the production of Puccini's Turandot, which is scheduled for 2 performances, Friday evening at 7:30 and Sunday afternoon at 2:30 at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. For information, visit Tulsa Opera's website, tulsaopera.com. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. And of course, we're going to leave you with that great aria from Turandot. Here's Pavarotti singing Nessun Dorma.